that time, you can sit down if you want. And you've got a clue if you've already read the sentence, but can anybody tell me what day is this coming Tuesday? Now, I know that sounds like a trick question, I've got the answers in it, but what day is this? Well, very good. Jeff, is that what you're going to say, Daniel? You're going to say Pancake Day, what are you going to say, Nathan? Pancake Day. Everybody knows this Tuesday is Pancake Day. Falls this year on Tuesday, the 25th of February. Now, I was thinking about this week. Can you put up your hands? We have lots of people here at the chapel from lots of different countries, lots of different parts of the world. Can you put up your hand if in the country that you, either your family came from or that you were born in, they have Pancake Day or they have some kind of equivalent of Pancake Day? I'm not sure how British a thing Pancake Day. If you're British, you can put your hand up because we do Pancake Day. Not many others. They're looking at people who are from other parts of the world, not many other places, do Pancake Day. But here in Britain, we get very excited about Pancake Day. I love Pancake Day. I mean, what a great idea. A day when, by universal agreement, we will all eat pancakes. That sounds like an absolutely terrific idea. But in the midst of all the fun and the deliciousness of Pancake Day, all the pancakes and the golden syrup and the lemon and the sugar and the chocolate spread, whatever it is you like to put on yours, I wonder if you've ever wondered why we have Pancake Day. Maybe you've lived in this country for a long time, you've been walking around with pancakes, you think, wow, never stop to think, why do we have Pancake Day? Maybe you come to this country from somewhere else and you think, what on earth are these people doing? What is this all about? Where did this day come from? Why do we have Pancake Day? Well, part of the answer is that Pancake Day has been happening in this country, and in some other countries certainly, for lots and lots of years. It dates right back to the Anglo-Saxon times, and they were a long, long time ago. And not just in this country, actually, people in lots of places mark the day as well. It's not always called Pancake Day. In some places, it's called Fat Tuesday, or Mardi Gras, which is Fat Tuesday in French, I think. So you might have heard of Mardi Gras happening in place. That's the same day as Pancake Day. But actually, its original name in this country wasn't Pancake Day at all. It was originally called Shrove Tuesday. The funny word is originally called Shrove Tuesday. And actually, the fact that it used to be called Shrove Tuesday, that gives us a little bit of a clue as to why this day exists at all. Because the word Shrove is a very ye olde word, which you wouldn't hear people use now really, but the word Shrove comes from the word shriven, which means being told that your sins have been forgiven. Basically, that's what the word shriven or shrove means. It means having somebody tell you that your sins have been forgiven. Because you see, Shrove Tuesday or Pancake Day, that comes immediately before Ash Wednesday. So you've got Shrove Tuesday on the Tuesday, and then Ash Wednesday on the Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is the start of the period of Lent. Now Lent is a period of 40 days, it's actually 47 days, if you take off the Sunday, it's all very confusing. But 40 days running up between Ash Wednesday and Easter is an important time which Christians have used historically to focus on God and to focus on Jesus and what he did for us at the cross. And as a mark of that, before it came to Ash Wednesday, people used to go to church on Shrove Tuesday and they used to say sorry. They used to say sorry for their sins. And they would also give up certain types of foods. They give up things like eggs and butter and things like that for Lent that they wouldn't eat as a kind of mark of their commitment and devotion to God. Back when eggs and butter were kind of really exciting foods, and so it was a big thing to give them. And so, on Shrove Tuesday, before Ash Wednesday, before the start of Lent, they had to use up all their eggs and butter and things like that. And so a brilliant thing to make, to use lots of eggs and butter up, and also to make something delicious at the same time, was pancakes. And so that is why, for hundreds of years, on Shrove Tuesday, in this country, people have eaten pancakes. That's how Pancake Day was born. So you see, whilst most people now just like Pancake Day because they like the idea of pancakes, there's actually a real link between Pancake Day and Jesus. And between, in particular, what Jesus did for us on the cross and the Easter story. And it's all got to do with this idea of saying sorry. And that's what people were doing on Shrove Tuesday. That's why they gave things up for that period of Lent as a mark of kind of repentance and devotion. So Pancake Day has all to do with this idea of saying sorry to God. But why do we need to say sorry? Well, that is what we're going to think about next. Okay, so we've thought about the fact that Pancake Day is really Shrove Tuesday, which is really all about saying sorry to God. But why do we need to say sorry? Well, to help us think about that, I'd like you to pick up the Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 3, which is on page 1029 in the Blue Bibles. And a key verse is on the serve sheet as well. I'm going to read for us Luke chapter 3 and from verse 3 through to verse 6. The he, at the very start of verse 3, that is John the Baptist. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. So here we are, and very near the start of Luke's Gospel, and here comes John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and God had given him a really extra special job to do. And John is doing two things, I think you see in this verse, these verses. He's preaching, he's declaring a message, passing on a message, and he's preparing. He's preaching there in verse 3. And what's his message? Well, remember John the Baptist gave, God gave John the Baptist a really extra special job to do, and therefore his message must be really extra special important. And Luke, well, he's boiled it right down for us, so it's really short, so we can be really clear on it. And he tells us in verse 3, he comes preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So this really important, really extra special message that John the Baptist wants to pass on is all about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now can anybody tell me, maybe somebody who comes on to Friday Club, because we've thought about this a little bit at Friday Club in the past few weeks, can anyone tell me what does the word repent or repentance mean, Lydia? Turn around. Brilliant. And it means to turn around, to say sorry, and say, I'm not going to go this way anymore, I'm sorry for going that way, I'm going to turn around and go the other way instead. That's right, so John comes along, and his message is all about stopping what you are doing, turning around and doing something else. It's all about repenting, saying sorry, and turning around. But repenting of what? Saying sorry for what? Well, that's at the very end of the verse, isn't it? Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, can anybody else on Friday Club tell me, because again, we've thought about this over the past few weeks, what is sin? Can we go a good way to remember what the word sin means? Yes, I know?
Sin.
Okay, so it seems like a bad thing you do, so there's punishment. Yes, Jesse? God does always keep his promises, that's true. Betsy, what are you going to say? Well, yes, you might not get killed, but you might get in trouble for doing sins. The punishments are not that severe in our house, are they? Yes, if sin is doing something wrong, and one of the things that we've learned to help us remember what sin means, and because we do lots of things that might be wrong and that might hurt other people, but really sin in the Bible is when we do something that God doesn't want us to do. And so we've remembered sin by saying, sin is like saying, shove off God, so there's our X, if you're feeling it on your cheek, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. So if you want to remember, what does sin mean? Sin means saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your ways, or no to your rules. And that's an awful way to treat God, isn't it? God's given us all the good things that we have. And so to say, well, no, God, I don't want to go your way, I want to go my own way, well, that's to turn our back on all the good things that we enjoy. It's to turn our back on everything we do. And that helps us to see why sin is such a big problem. So, to help us remember, here's our pancake. Not our problem pancake. Alright, don't worry about that today. That's all wrong. So on our problem pancake, we need to write the word sin. There we go. That is the big problem that Pancake Day reminds us of. The problem of sin. That's what John the Baptist wants to talk about. Because John, he thinks that this is the thing that people most need to deal with. He's got this extra special job from God to pass an extra special message. And it's all about making sure that people know the thing that they most need sorting, the problem they most need solving, is the problem of sin. So you see, John the Baptist and Pancake Day have something in common. Because they're both all about saying sorry for our sins. Now in the olden days, when they first started doing Pancake Day, the people used to go and see a man at a church and say sorry to him. And he would say, okay, don't worry, have some absolution, off you go. But really, that's no good. Because we can't just go and find a man at a church and say sorry to him, because it's God that we've sinned against. So it's him we need to say sorry to. And Pancake Day can be a helpful reminder of that. That we need to say sorry to God for our sins. But remember, John the Baptist is doing two things. Firstly, he's preaching a message that's all about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But the second thing that John the Baptist is doing is preparing. He is preparing the way, not for Lent, but for salvation. That's what he says in those following verses. They're all about kind of making a clear path, getting everything out of the way, filling in the valleys, taking down the hills, because the person who's coming is so important that there has to be a good straight road for them to go down. And there in verse 6, all people will see God's salvation. John the Baptist is preaching a message that's all about repentance for the forgiveness of sin, and he's preparing the way for salvation. And that's what we're going to think about in a few minutes. This Pancake Day is a helpful reminder that we need to say sorry. Well, we're going to see in just a moment that Pancake Day is also a day we can really celebrate. Take a seat. Well, we've just sung there about our hope being built on Jesus' righteousness. And it helps us to think about what that means, and what it's got to do with John the Baptist, and what it has to do with Pancake Day. We're going to need to read a little bit more of Luke. You see, John prepares the way, we just read in chapter 3, for the Lord. He prepares the way for the Saviour. And so soon after John, who do you think we might expect to see coming along? Jesus. And sure enough, in chapter 4, that's exactly who we find. So if we go to the page, page 1030, and I'm going to read for us Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So Luke tells us about a really remarkable thing that happened with Jesus. Jesus went out into the wilderness, and did anybody notice how long was he there? Yes, Daniel?
40 days.
Jesus' answer was 40 days. That's actually why Lent, the season of Lent, is 40 days long. It's a reflection of the time that Jesus spent in the wilderness. But while Jesus is there, the devil comes and tempts him and tests him and tries to get him to sin. He tries the first time. He tells him to turn a stone into bread. And the first time he tries, does anything tell him? Does he succeed?
No.
He tries the second time. Tries to get him to worship him by promising him all his authority. And the second time, does anybody tell him? Does he succeed?
No.
He tries a third time. Tries to get him to jump off the temple. Because, oh, God says, it'll all be alright. Even though Jesus knows he shouldn't be testing God like that. So he tries a third time. Can anybody tell me the third time? Does he succeed?
No.
No matter what the devil tries, Jesus doesn't sin. He never does what God, his Father, wouldn't want him to. He always does the right thing. If you wanted to remember what it means when we talk about Jesus' righteousness, just like we sung about in that hymn, you could remember that. You could remember Jesus' righteousness is the fact that Jesus always did the right thing. And because of that, he never needed to say sorry to God, his Father. He was perfect. He never sinned. So we can turn our pancake as well into a perfect pancake. Because when we think about Jesus, we can see that he never sinned. Jesus had no sin. And because he never sinned, he's able to help us with our sin. Because you see, for our sins to be forgiven, it's not enough for us to just go and see somebody in church and to tell them we're sorry and for them to say, "Oh, it's okay, you're forgiven." God is the one we've sinned against, and so only he can forgive us. And for him to forgive us, we need someone to come and take the consequences that our sins deserve. When Daniel answered the question earlier to explain what sin is, he said, well, sin is doing something wrong that deserves some kind of punishment, and that's exactly right. And so for our sins to be forgiven, the consequences of our sin, well, they need to be dealt with. But that can just be anybody, of course. It had to be somebody with no sin of their own. It needed to be the Lord himself. It needed to be our Saviour. It needed to be Jesus. But Jesus has come. And so, on Pancake Day, in fact, on absolutely any day, we can know that if we're trusting in Jesus, if we're relying on him, then when we say sorry for our sins, we put our sin in, then... not as easy as it looks. Jessica, you'll have a go.
Yeah.
You're probably a bit better than me.
I can do it.
You can have a go, Daniel.
I can do it.
You understand the point of the illustration? While the boys try and make it. Yes! Very good. Our sin, this whole situation can be flipped. Our sin can be taken away, and what started out with our sin ends with Jesus's no sin, ends with Jesus's righteousness. Instead of God seeing our sin, he sees no sin at all. And that's why we can celebrate on Pancake Day. Because we can use it as a day to remind us that we need to say sorry for our sin, because our sin is the greatest problem that we have, but that we can be forgiven, because Jesus didn't sin at all. We can remember on Pancake Day that our situation, our whole life, our entire futures, can be absolutely and totally flipped, turned on their head. Some Christians still like to use the 40 days of Lent to give up certain foods and things like that, and that can be a good and helpful thing to do. But you know what? We don't have to, because Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness for us. He has already done what we could never do. So have a very happy Pancake Day. Enjoy God's goodness in giving us delicious foods. But even more than that, remember his kindness in giving us Jesus. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing again. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that even though we all know that all the time we do things wrong, we don't listen to you, we don't do the things that you invite us to do. We do things that we know make you unhappy, and we don't always treat other people the way that we should. We thank you that we know that when we say sorry to you, when we repent, when we turn around, turn away from going our own way and turn back to you, we find forgiveness for our sins because of Jesus. We thank you that because he never sinned, you look at us and you see us as perfect, perfectly righteous, as if we've always done the right thing because of him. Please help us to remember that this Pancake Day and every single day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.